Good morning. I'd like to welcome each of you this morning in the house of the Lord. And as we come this day, we do with thanksgiving and praise for our Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that He's given us. And we know that there are some that have been mentioned that are ill. And certainly we uphold each one of those in prayer. We want to... Is this my, okay, maybe I can speak up a little louder, that we want to share with you in a call to worship, and this being Sacrament Sunday, that I've selected several verses out of the Doctrine and Covenants, section 83, and if you will, I'm going to read those. I'm going to add a couple that aren't written, but it comes out of section A. I said section 83, number 7A, and I'm going to read 7A, C, D, and E, and then I'm going to go back to 3C. So if you'll follow with me, and then we will stand and have a our hymn, and then our invocation. Perhaps maybe before I do that, since there are those that will be listening, I'd like to share with those that are on the rostrum this morning. To my far right would be your left would be Brother Elder Rob Bird, and he'll be sharing in the invocation and also in the serving of the bread and the wine. Also, Rob Liebel will share in the offertory this morning. And our speaker, Brother Eldon Preston, will be sharing with us. And also, Jesse Cochran will also be sharing in the serving of the emblems and also the benediction. My name is John Eichhorn. I am presiding this morning, and I will continue now with the call to worship. And now I give unto you a commandment to be aware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. And the Spirit giveth light unto every man that cometh into the world. And the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit. And every one that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. And the Father teacheth him of the covenant, which he has renewed and confirmed upon you, which is confirmed upon you for your sakes, and not for your sakes only, but for the sake of the whole world. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. And without the ordinances thereof, and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. And we ask a blessing upon those words this morning. We're going to turn to hymn number 5 in our hymnal. And we will sing together, Holy, 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 and we will then stand.
Almighty God, our dear Heavenly Father, we count it the privilege, Father, to be able to gather here with these, my brothers and sisters, in this place, this beautiful place you've given to us to worship you, Father. We have gathered for this service of remembrance, remembering that you have given us so freely the gift of your only begotten Son, Jesus. And it's only through him, Father, that we would have opportunity to return to you. We thank you for his desire to provide that path for each of us. And we know, Father, that he came and ended up being the sacrifice that would allow us to have opportunity to do that. So bless us this hour. Might your Holy Spirit descend on us, upon us in great power, that we might be fed, that we might be challenged, that we might be nurtured to turn loose of the ways of the world, turn loose of our physical, those things that are not of you, to remove those barriers that we put there through our sins. So, Father, bless us in this hour. Be with each who has come. Be with each who has responsibilities, that we might be led and directed to say those things and do those things that would be most beneficial for those of us who are here. We look forward to your blessings, Father, for we ask all these things in the precious name of even your only begotten Son, Jesus. Amen.
Now, this hour, a portion of the service, we all can participate. Today we have in our oblation offering the need, dear saints, to remember those less fortunate than us. And there's many of people out sick and all. Moroni chapter 7, verses 52 and 53 defines charity as the pure love of Christ, which, he says, endures forever. And he admonishes us to pray to the Father with all the energy of our heart, that we may be filled with the love which he has bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus the Christ. The scriptures are very clear about giving of our surplus to help the poor, to pay our tithe, and to promote the Lord's work of spreading his gospel. And we sure need it badly in the world today with so few people coming to church and stuff. The monies given today can go into the oblation fund to help those in dire need of our assistance. The qualities of charity as the pure love of Christ is given in Moroni chapter 7, verse 52, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All else will fail but charity. The pure love of Christ will last forever. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. Will the deacons or those assigned to take up the offering please come forward, and we'll have a word of prayer over the money to be collected today. Our dear Heavenly Father, it's good that we could come this beautiful Sabbath day to praise thee, Lord, to ask for all that thou hast done for us, for thy Holy Spirit, and to thank thee for all the blessings thou hast given. We pray the monies collected today will go to the needy, Lord, and also to the missionary effort to spread the gospel that we so dearly need. So many people need to hear it, Lord, in this times now when there's so much bitterness. We need more love and praise with our fellow man for the good things that they have done for us, Lord. So bless each and every one of us as we go forward in this sacrament service, Lord. We ask this prayer in the name of thy Son, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
How blessed we are to be able to come into the house of the Lord today and to take of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said in the book of Luke, he says, I come with great desire to be with you. And I trust that we come too with great desire to be with him. Christ, in that moment of and time that of the Lord's Supper, that he broke bread and he shared it with the apostles. And also they drank wine together. And then he washed their feet in a giving of service. Our focus this morning is upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He is asking for our stewardship of our lives, not for money, but that we may be fulfilled, that we might be inspired, and that we might have joy, peace, and love. Love is a motivation that Jesus brought to the world and to each of our lives. He gave his life upon the cross that we might be forgiven not only of our sins, but through the resurrection that we would have life eternal and that we would enjoy those times that are yet to come in his presence. And to be also to be able to partake of the time of the millennium, when we would reign 1,000 years in his presence, and to be able to share and to learn those mysteries that even that we talk about in Sunday school, the things that we have a glimpse of, but we really don't totally always understand. But Jesus says, I have many, many blessings for my people. And he says that as we do the commandments that he has set forth before us, and he says, if we will do these things, that our lives will be enhanced and that we will have, again, great joy, and we will have peace, and we'll have understanding. We see that if we lack in that stewardship, we know that those basically experience the devastation of failure. They feel unworthy and oftentimes have great depression. The Lord's Supper today, which is a sacrament, which is holy, and which has been given to us that we might be uplifted in his spirit, he sets us on that straight and narrow path. And we know that in this sacrament, that we take upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also bear witness that Jesus is the Christ, and he has changed and is changing our lives daily. And we also come to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit abides within us. And so on this special day, as we silently express our appreciation to our Lord, but also as we come in our reverence of what we can give for the sake of the kingdom, what we can give for Zion, what we can give for one another. For Jesus said that, I give all these things that you might have life abundantly. And so at this time, we're going to turn in our hymnals to page 266, Jesus to Thy Table Led. We will sing this as the bread and the wine are prepared for the serving. Thank you.
come before the table as the blessing is read upon the bread.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Did anyone miss their portion of the bread or the wine? I'd like to introduce to you this morning our speaker, Brother Eldon. This is his second sermon that he's sharing with his congregation. And come to know he and his wife Janelle, and they carry a very wonderful spirit, a very caring people. And so I'd like to present them to you for his ministry, Brother Eldon.
Thank you for that very kind introduction. I'm feeling just an overwhelming sense of gratitude right now. I'm trying to find a way to sit this. I'm going to need this later. The scripture that I'd like to read to draw our mind towards Christ today comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 19 through 21. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring. Behold, I will do a new. Let me start over again. I'm getting tongue-tied. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I guess I should have paid closer attention to my bulletin. I thought there was going to be a ministry of music in there. What came to my mind to talk about today was actually inspired from the message from last week. And I was very impressed that, you know, he covered the prophetic meaning of the marriage customs of God's chosen people, the Israelites. And I do believe that there is very profound meaning in that, and there is profound meaning in many things with their culture. There is very prophetic meaning in their cycle of their feast days and the holidays that they celebrate. And that actually prophesies of Christ, his first coming and his second coming, as highlighted throughout those feast days. The alphabet itself, the Hebrew alphabet and the Hebrew numerology and the Hebrew calendar, they all have very deep meaning, very deep messaging, and they contain the prophetic voice of the Father. So before we get started, I have a very, very important and profound question for everybody. What year is it? 2025? Yeah, it is. What if I said it was the year 5785? Would you believe me? Or you say, yeah, right, yeah, and I'm Buck Rogers in the 59th century, too. But actually, it is 2025 in the Gregorian calendar, but in the Hebrew calendar, this is a little bit behind. I should have brought this about 90 days ago. We're entering the second quarter of the year, but because in the Hebrew year, the year starts October 1st, not January 1st, like the Gregorian calendar. But the Hebrew calendar, we are in the year 5785. And they count from year zero. They don't split it into BC and AD like they do. It's from year one to the present. And so we are in the year 5785. And that number, the Hebrew number, 5785, it's far more than a number. It's a whole language and a message unto itself. See, the Hebrews, they don't have, the original Hebrew language did not have numbers, did not have numerals. Their numbers are their letters. So for us, it would be as if A was number one, B is 2, C is 3, D is 4, all the way through, and that's what their numbers were based on. So in the Hebrew language, each number is a letter. The number corresponds to the number, like the sequence in their alphabet. Their first letter is number 1, second letter is number 2, all the way through. And on top of that, though, their letters are an Oriental style writing, where each letter is a pictogram which tells the story in and of itself. And so you've got this deep meaning embedded in the year 5785, so that shows the millennia, the century, the decade, and the year. So right now, we are in, well, October 1st, we entered into the fifth year of the eighth decade. So the eighth decade began in 2020. That was the beginning of the new decade, our 2020. And that was their year 5780. And the number 8 in the Hebrew alphabet is the letter, and I'm not going to get the pronunciations right. I'm not, I'm just going to give my basic Englishized version of that. I just made up a word there, but I'm not going to try and get the Hebrew enunciation and all that type of thing. But Hebrew number 8 is the letter pei, which means mouth. So we are halfway through October of 2019, the fall of 2019, began the decade of the mouth. We are halfway through the decade of the mouth right now. And of course, if we say it's the decade of the mouth, the meaning we can put to that is it's about speech, it's about proclamation, it's about revelation, it's about in Scripture where it says the evil things that people want to be hidden will be revealed. That is all tied in with the decade of the mouth. For us as Christians, as followers of God, that means the time of proclaiming God's word, proclaiming his righteousness, proclaiming the message that he has to us. But also, what happened that fall of 2019 going into 2020? We all know what happened. We experienced it. And I believe that we were in a part of a spiritual battle. It wasn't just a physical thing or a political thing. I believe there was a behind-the-scenes spiritual war that has been taking place that started with that. And I believe that the adversary tried to take command and tried to take control over God's decade of the mouth, of proclamation. And so what happened during that time, starting in 2019, we know COVID was released. And I believe, and I'm not saying this is gospel truth, but I believe there was a bioweapon that was created and it was released on the world through a lab in China. That's neither here nor there. But so we had this bioweapon released, and what did the powers that be that were influenced by the adversary use that for? They used it to shut everyone's mouth. They told us we had to put coverings on our face to stop our mouths, to stop our communication. They tried to shut down the churches. It became the era of we have to stop and squelch out disinformation and misinformation. So it was the area of censorship. But the powers that be were lying to us through the whole time. They were trying to censor and stop the truth, and they were trying to replace it with lies. All the works of the adversary, because we know he is the father of all lies. And so he tried to take command of that, and we saw that happen. And so just to put a point on it, let's look at Psalm 120. And some also believe, and I'm not saying this is true or not, I come across the book a while ago, and I don't even know if I have a copy of it anymore, but it was Hidden Prophecies in the Book of Psalms. And if you look at the Book of Psalms, if you take the first psalm as the year 1900 and continue on, you can see parallels through every year of our history in the Book of Psalms. So let's just take a look at Psalm 120, which would correspond to the year 2020, this year of the beginning of God's decade of proclamation, which the adversary tried to commandeer and destroy. What does the Psalm 120 say about that? In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me, Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech and I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. That really kind of does describe what happened to us with this whole thing that happened. The leader speaking lies, putting weapons against us, trying to shut down the speech of the truth, trying to shut down the churches. That really is what we entered into, and we kind of have been fighting our way out of it, you know, as a culture and as a nation and as a world, out of that period. You know, during that period, when that time came, I may be strange, but in my spirit, I felt a shift. I felt a heaviness. I talked to some others around me that they kind of were feeling the same thing, that around that period of time, 2020, that it in my personal experience, it felt spiritually like over our nation, like a heavy dark blanket had dropped. It was like an oppressive feeling, like there was this dark oppression that was trying to cover our land. And I kind of struggled with that, and kind of dealt with that. And others around me, some of them at church, said, do you feel anything different? Do you feel like there's a shift that's happened in the spirit? And I said, yeah, it feels, just doesn't feel right. And that began in the fall of 2020 and going into fall of 2019, going into 2020. And then now, from the going into the fall of 2024 into 2025, I started to feel another shift within my spirit. I felt another shift, like that heaviness was starting to be lifted. And around that time, when I received a copy of, I believe it was the latest message that was given through Brother Mike Ballantyne, that said that God in his grace was going to give us a reprieve, at least for a period of time, for the things, the judgments that were going to fall. And when I read that, it was immediate confirmation. It's like, I've been feeling that in my spirit. I've been already feeling that God had that reprieve that's starting to come, that he's going to give us the grace and to give us that reprieve. So, well, that's going into 2025. Let's now look at Psalm 125 and see what it has to say. They that trust in the Lord in Mount Zion cannot be removed, but abide forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto the good and unto the upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. And I believe that I feel within my spirit that we have entered into another period of grace, that God is going to give us a reprieve from his judgment. And so, as I alluded to earlier, October 1st of 2024, we left the fourth year, and so now this year we went into the fifth year. And so let's look at the number four. Now, can we turn the handheld mic back on? I got the lights on. Okay, now it's on. Okay. I'm not going to try to do fancy artwork or calligraphy, but the letter for the number four in the Hebrew alphabet is the Dalet. which is basically that. Now, is that fancy artwork or what? And you can't see it. Well, okay. That's the Dalet. That's the letter that represents the Hebrew number 4. And what that, the meaning of the letter, what that stands for, is door. And so we went through. So when we went number 4 year, last year was the year of the door. And so when we went from 2024 to 2025, we went from the year of the door into the year number 5, which I'll get into what the meaning of that is. So we walked through the door. What happened to God's chosen people, the Israelites, when they walked through their door? When they walked through when they walked into the door, they were slaves of Egypt. But when they walked out of the door, they were the free covenant people of God. They went from being slaves in Egypt, slaves to the world, slaves to sin. And when they walked back through that door, they became the free covenant people of the Lord. So what does it mean for us when we just walk through our door? What door did we just walk through? What's ahead for us in this year 5785? Well, now in Hebrew again, the letter 5 is the letter Hey. And the letter Hey, all it does is it adds this other symbol. Again, my artwork's going to be really fancy. Oops. Other symbol there. So it just took the Dalet, the door, and added that other little symbol to it. And that made it the Hey. And there is a lot of meaning in the letter Hey. It represents that the actual official is behold. Hey means behold. So if you look at that, we just walked through the door like the Israelites. When they walked through their door, became God's chosen people, we stepped through the door and God says, behold. You could also, if you say, you look at the meaning of behold, that means open your eyes and see. It means take your blinders off and look and see what I'm trying to show you, meaning God. But it also represents grace. It means the breath of God, because the sound, hey, hey, you have to have the breath. So that sound, to the Hebrews, that represented the breath of God, which we know is His Spirit that touches and enriches our lives. And it also means an open window. And now I'm going to point one little. The reason they say that it means the window is the Hebrews, this opening right here, because that doesn't go all the way to the top. This opening represents a window to them. And so that's why, so there are the meanings. It means behold, it means God's grace, it means the breath of God, and it means an open window. And let's take a little deeper, you know, look at that. I'll try to not be too long here. Again, I first already mentioned, behold, that could mean, you know, take off our blinders. See what God is working out in our lives. Be aware of it. And to have vision, to see the vision that He's put before us. And the grace of God, we know that it's His unmerited favor. That's very true, but when you combine that with the hey, the breath of God, that fresh outpouring of His Spirit, you combine that with the grace of God, and what you get is the transforming touch of His hand. When He touches our lives, how it transforms our lives and our hearts, it transforms us into a new creation, a new creature. And that window represents a way of repentance and an escape from sin. Because in the Hebrew understanding, this space under here, that represents sin. And this window represents repentance. The opportunity to escape the penalty of sin through repentance. They have another letter, and I can't remember it off the top. I'd have to look it up again, but where this goes all the way to the top. And I believe that represents death. Because in that letter, there's no escape from sin. So we are entering into a period of renewed vision. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, a renewed vision of what God wants to show us for our life and for our church, a renewal of His unmerited favor and the touch of His hand in our life to bring transformation, to bring healing, to bring that fresh outpouring of His Spirit, just enlivening and quickening everything about our lives and about our church, about our families and about our homes, and the continuation of the call to repentance, to turn from our sin and turn from Him so we can experience that full touch of His hand. And actually, we have the potential to receive a double portion of this grace and the touch of His Spirit. Because if you take the number 578-5785, you add that together, gives you 25, which is 5 times 5, 5 squared. So we have the potential to receive a double portion of that grace and that blessing upon our lives. The touch of His hand to give us renewal and rebirth and regeneration if we just have eyes to see and ears to hear and if we grab hold of it and we take advantage of the opportunity. But this is also taking place in the decade of the mouth, the decade of speech and of proclamation. So what are we to do with that? We are to proclaim this healing, this grace, this ability, or the opportunity to receive the touch of the Master's hand, the transforming power in our lives, to proclaim that to the world, to speak that out, to share it into the world, to put that into action. And so what do we do with this? Take another little direction from the symbol. And I find this interesting is why they put this into their letter door. The upper part of the symbol for door represents thought. The side part represents speech. And I thought that was interesting that they would create the door with symbols, where they combined thought and speech. And if we think of that, that really opens and closes doors in our lives. The way we think about things and the way that we speak to ourselves and to others opens and closes doors in our lives. Because what we dwell on will do. And the things we speak, I'm not putting some kind of a metaphysical thing into it, but the things we speak into others' lives, because that implants things in their heads, the things we speak sometimes happen also. And so, thought and speech represents a door. Did I tell you what this symbol represents? Represents the hand of God. And so that's when they talk about the symbol, that what brings in that touch of God, that represents the hand of God opening our doors, opening that window for repentance. But if you look at the hand, that's also a symbol of action. So if you look at what do we do with this knowledge that we have just walked through our door into an age of a double outpouring of God's grace and his blessing and his touch and his direction in our life, what are we to do with that? We look at this. We take our thoughts and our speech and we put them into action. We don't just think about it, mull it over, meditate on it, talk about it, but we take those thoughts and speech and the things that we are doing and that we are thinking and saying and make it real, make it live, put it into some form of action. Do something for the Lord with it. Don't just talk about it. And in closing, I'd like to read a section from, I found this book at a used bookstore someplace. I never heard of the author before, but I find it very inspirational. And I want to read a part of this in closing. By my Spirit, saith the Lord, shall I speak to my people. They shall sing of my glory, who hear my voice. They shall be filled with rejoicing, who behold my countenance. They will bring their offerings of praise, and I shall bless them out of the riches of my heart. The more they bless me, the more will I honor them. They shall walk in a path of delight who are pure of heart. Joy is the natural climate of heaven, and my chosen ones who delight in me shall have a full portion even now. Be prepared for me, for I shall come unto thee in a blinding splendor, and ye shall not be able to bear it if ye have been regarding the darkness about thee. Look above the present scene, for to dwell on the confusion of the world would unfit thee for the revelation of heaven. You are not going to be here much longer, and no one spends time nor thought on what is soon to be left behind. Abundantly have I blessed you. Thy gratitude for this is fitting, but there are far more wonderful things that I am about to do for you, so keep thy heart free and thy mind stayed upon me. The great revelation is unfolding, and the ushering in of my kingdom is at hand. I would prepare thee. I have truth to give thee that is vital to this hour. You need to receive it now so that ye shall not be perplexed. It shall indeed be a dark hour for the world, and humanity shall be enshrouded in a darkness such as in the days of the flood. There shall be an even greater darkness, and there shall be anguish and travail, but out of this shall come a new age of righteousness and of peace. And all creation shall struggle and travail until it be brought forth. But I am lifting my chosen ones even now into a realm of glory and revelation. Yea, I am bringing forth a special unique creation. It shall be as Noah and as Lot, even as the righteous remnant, which shall be delivered out of destruction. For judgment shall fall upon sin and upon all ungodliness. Evil must be purged and put away. But I will always have a witness, saith the Lord, and I will not forsake my people who put their trust in me. The greater the judgment, the greater the deliverance, and the greater the darkness, the greater the glory, the greater the lie, the greater the truth. These are going to be glorious days for you, my chosen, and this has been a mutual choosing. If the world would choose me now, I would usher in my kingdom now, even as in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry. Israel had then the opportunity to accept her Messiah. Having rejected, judgment ensued. So what is today? Mankind has had nearly 2,000 years to accept my grace and my forgiveness and salvation. Having rejected it, doom is inevitable. This is the night of man's rebellion and disobedience. Ye are beginning to see the fulfillment of the second Psalm. But in this night the door shall be opened. It shall be opened by the bridegroom, and they who are watching and they who have maintained their lamps of witness shall go in, Others shall see and shall desire to enter, but shall be too late. See that thy witness not cease. Only as ye have a full supply of my Spirit can the fire of testimony be kept alive. They who hold darkened lamps could scarcely be unbelievers, for the lamp is my word. My word without my Spirit can produce no witness. The fire is the witness, and the fire cometh never from my word alone, but also always from the word and the oil of the Spirit. See that ye lose not the oil. When those who possess the oil have been taken away, where shall ye go to buy? Be filled, my people, and be burning when I come. I shall come for the living, not for the dead. For the living witness I shall preserve to carry the light over into the kingdom age. Amen.
We'll turn in our hymnals to 247, Send Me Forth, O Blessed Master. Shall we stand, please?
Thank you.
this day and for this time that we have had and for the messages that we have received and the understanding that we would have. And we pray that you would be with us now as we go forth from this place, having renewed our covenants with thee, that as this month would provide us a new bounty of opportunities, as will this year and this era of time within our lives, that we recognize that we have the potential to do much good or much evil, and pray that you would be with us, that your Spirit would guide us to make those good and righteous decisions and those positive influences on the lives of others and the world as a whole. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.